Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom. Let's go before our Abba in prayer. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Be not far from us. Let your anointing be upon the word that you watch so perform. Bless the people of today. We give your name all the honor and the glory. With your name being glorified. Most High, Baba Yah, in the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. This is a day that the Most High has made. Welcome to Blueprint for Life. I am V, the preacher, and we have a couple of lessons for you today. We're going to have a two-part lesson. The show is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration, soon to be the Bantu Cultural Restoration Association, restoring the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. Briefly, we're going to go live on YouTube as well, but I want to start here. I always give salutations here since we've been here the longest for the last 12 years, giving the Most High the praise in this awakening, pre, post, mid-awakening. All praises to the Most High that these bones are preparing to live again. So we're going to go into a deliverance lesson about casting out demons so we can make sense of what's happening in the earth around us. And I think everything today is to deal with what's happening around us, because one thing that's important about the Shabbat is not for us to do what the world does. Everything that's being posted on media and social media that we're to react to, respond to, or have a commentary on. Now, we have a mandate that supersedes everything that are current events. We have a mandate from the Holy Scriptures, the Torah, the Tanakh, the prophets that wrote books for this generation, Daniel, Revelations, to preach, encourage, exhort our people so that they'll be ready, watching for the return of our Messiah and find themselves striving to be more and more righteous and more like him, so that they'll be prepared to spend eternity with him when he returns, to miss out on that reservation to hellfire camp. We got to all cancel our reservations. So that's what we're going to get into today. And so I'm going to try not to be long-winded, so I'm not going to even delay the time. Let me move over to the live stream. All praises to the Most High. All right, welcome YouTube listeners. Shabbat Shalom. I am V, the preacher, and we've got a two-part lesson for you today, and I don't want to belabor the time. I hope that this lesson is an encouragement and exhortation to you and blessing, as we're going to deal with some prophetic events. We have some joining us over on Blog Talk Live as well at this current time. So much is transpiring all around us that I think it's important that we pinpoint. And, you know, you may disagree, but my broadcast is not for debate. You're welcome to search the scriptures. I just want to put out points of preponderance and something for you to kind of reflect on, give you something to study, something to take a look at, and realize that a lot of things are hidden in plain sight. Sorry if you don't like the shirt. It should say Man of Yah. I'm talking about the Most High. I see that now. But I truly am a husband, a dad, and a grandpa. Anyway, all praises to the Most High. This is the day the Most High has made. And many of you are just getting through your Passover. There's some other groups about to go into Passover. But however, this is a holy season. But there are a lot of things that happened right after I and quite a few other people celebrated Passover and unleavened bread. Some things happened. Spiritual paradigm, a shift, and in politics that lean towards prophecy. But before I get to that, because we're seeing so many people talk about demons, deliverance, and a last day revival, I do want to say that the Most High is giving people a chance to repent, because he's a merciful God. He truly is a merciful God, and he wants people to get things right before it's too late. And so that's what I'm going to really expound upon today, the opportunity to see deliverance, to see healings. And so without further delay, I want to go into what I was talking about last week, because I mentioned it, but I wasn't doing a full all-out study about the topic. which focuses on Acts, the 19th chapter, where we see Paul anointing the handkerchiefs that people might be delivered and set free. In Acts 19 and 15, this is the key verse. It said, at the end of that verse, it said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? And what brought me to want to talk about this is because I'm seeing a lot of people that are trying to usher in deliverance for people as far as healing from sickness and demons that people do possess. They're struggling with demons and demon possession because they don't actually have the power of Yah in their lives, let alone the Ruach HaKadosh. And they probably more than likely have not been converted as Paul was converted. Yeshua HaMashiach warned him that Satan was going to try and sift him like wheat. He told him to go out into the wilderness and to pray. And after he was converted, to come back and restore the brethren. You have to reach the point of conversion being completed. Psalms 19 and 7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man and making wise the simple. And that wisdom comes from the Ruach HaKadosh that the Most High, according to Acts 10th chapter, gives to those who obey him. And the obedience comes through keeping his commandments, 1 John 2 and 3. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If you say you love him and you keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. We specified last week that many people, if you look in some of the definitions of exorcism or an exorcism, well, let's just say an exorcism. An exorcist is the person that's performing the act. An exorcism. If you look into some of the definitions such as Wikipedia, it will tell you to bind by oath or agreement. And I mentioned to you that I had done a lesson, look in the archives, about there being different levels of angels and different levels of demons. It's called the Order of Angels and Demons. And this book specifies that there are those that have more authority than others. To do an exorcism is to bind by oath or agreement. Yeshua never bound any demon. He cast them out. And the key point is that when he came on the scene, demons immediately recognized who he was, which is why we're leading into what was said in Acts 19 and 15, that the demons acknowledged that these certain persons had no reputation in the demonic world, let alone the kingdom of heaven. What we want to understand is that it's important that demons recognize the kingdom of Yah is inside of you. But if you're not living right, you're not keeping these commandments, and you're because we're seeing a lot of this, a sensationalist, on like we see on YouTube, people that get very animated and excited, and they get more animated about casting out demons and all excited, and they're wrestling with them and screaming and telling them to come out, come out, come out, over and over. And half the times the demons are, if you just pay attention to the person that's possessed, the demons inside that person is calling that person out, telling them what they are and who they are, the things they're wrestling with. And the key is, I want you to see something. In Mark 1 and 34, before we move on, it says this, talking about our HaMashiach, Christ. And he healed many. I really wish I had a reader today because we're going to cover so many scriptures. And so some of these scriptures I'm going to just give to you as a reference so you can write them down because I can't read all these scriptures today, even in part two of the lesson. It said that, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and he cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. That's the key. And that's why I want to do a part two. There's no wrestling when it comes to casting out demons if you are a man of Yah. If the power and the authority is within you, then immediately what happens is you're recognized and you tell them not to speak and you bring about healing and deliverance without wrestling. It's no wrestling. They should recognize you. And when we talk about recognition, let's talk about the knowledge. When you look at Matthew 7, 21 through 23, the Most High makes it clear that when the day of judgment comes, many will proclaim that they did these things in his name, and he's going to say to them, I never even knew you. I don't know you. You believed you cast out demons and that you had healed the sick, but you didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, I don't even know you. I have no knowledge of you. No, gnosko is the Greek word. I have no intimate knowledge of you. Because half of you don't even keep the commandments and don't believe you have to, and you teach people that they don't have to keep Yah's commandments. Isaiah 65 and 24 says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear them. These are people that have a relationship with Yah, and it's prophetic. Isaiah 58 made reference to people fasting for strife. And then in Isaiah 58 and 8, he said that it's not this the fast that I call for, that you would loose the bands of the wicked and that you would set people free, that you would clothe people, you would feed people. He said, when you get to this point of relationship with me, once you've reached this point, you will call upon me and I will answer immediately. Brothers and sisters, the Most High is calling us into relationship with him before we can get to the point where we begin to see people set free, because he said greater things we would do in these last days. I do believe the Gentiles are seeing a revival. I do believe he's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. I do believe the sons and daughters are prophesying. I do believe that demons are being cast out of people, because we're living in a time of demonic strongholds and oppression and depression. We're living in the times of Ephesians 6. We're in spiritual warfare. Good has been turned upside down into evil, and evil's being called good, and people are worshiping all types of spirits and demons. So we need people to manifest this type of power. But it's not going to happen unless you have a working relationship with the Father. If you're not in that word, on your knees, on a daily basis, at least three times a day, fasting and praying. The Bible said that some of these spirits don't even come out unless there's been fasting and praying. People have to fast and bring their flesh up under control to be able to dominate, conquer, and cast out these spirits. There should be no you on the ground wrestling, five men holding somebody on each arm, wrestling and throwing holy water on them and putting crosses up. That's TV. That's Hollywood. That's pagan. That's false. You're an exorcist. You're working with the demons to bind the demons to go into hiding. Demons go into hiding in people, manifest in other forms. It can manifest in gluttony, sex, other forms, but they will hide because the one thing they don't want is to be out of that body. They don't want to be without a body and roaming around looking to possess someone. So the person will deceive you and act as if the demon has left, and it hasn't left for the point of deception. When it truly leaves, that demon must leave at the word of come out in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, whatever you're saying. That demon has to come out, and it should know you and obey you because you have the power of Yah in your life. So that's all I want to say on that subject. And we're going to take a quick one-minute break, and we'll come right back with the lesson I want to talk about for today. All praises to the Most High. Welcome back. Let's get right into this. I know this is going to come with great controversy because a lot of people are in denial as to where we are in prophecy. There are a lot of people that believe, because you've watched too much television, that Satan's going to put everything on a billboard and announce and advertise everything he's doing. And you should be fully aware that he wants to hide prophecy, but he's hiding it directly in your face. And because you're not paying attention to certain key signs that have transpired and things that have happened all around you, and because you want life to be back to normal, you want to live a life of pleasure, you want to live a life of sin, you just want to live your life. That's what everyone was saying after this so-called pandemic. And I'm going to be very strategic in using the proper words that algorithms won't catch and cause me to be censored. So you'll have to try and keep up and pay attention. And I'm not going to bite my tongue about some of the decisions that certain people have made, because we're going to end up having to talk about decisions that were made, medical decisions, because it was a part of the book, the plan, Demic. And listen, I'm going to tell you once again what I said a little bit earlier, that the Most High is merciful, and all of these things are going to happen that he might bring people to repentance. When Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, cracks the sky, that's when you will not have an opportunity for repentance ever again. Believe it or not, no matter how much of the judgments and plagues that are going to be poured out, there are people who are still going to curse the Most High and not repent. That's how much of a stronghold Satan has on these people, how much they hate and despise the Most High, that they still are not going to repent. We're going to talk about some of the seals, the horsemen, the trumpets, and the seven bowls of judgment. And hopefully this will correlate into people understanding why systematically, or I should say, we as a unit have been collectively communicating and talking about the second Exodus. And there's a sensing that a lot of us have. We're discerning that we must be closer than ever before. And I'm going to try and emphasize to you today exactly why you're sensing that, because of where we are in prophecy. And I know for a fact, I'm not going to say I think, we were really deceived by some of the church forefathers and elders who read commentaries from people who were not children of the Most High. They were plants, they were tares, and they taught us false prophecy, taught us about a false rapture. They can't even identify who Israel is, which is the key, because this book is all about us Israelites. And once you identify that, that will help to unfold prophecy when you begin to look at Deuteronomy 28, Psalms 83, Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9, and then go back to Ezekiel and Jeremiah. You start to understand the prophecies collectively. But there, brothers and sisters, there's quite a few things we've missed because we copy each other's conversations and try and outdo each other with who found this, who found what, this and that, but we're missing what's happening all around us, when we need to be preparing ourselves for the wilderness, because the Israelites will be gathered. And when we're gathered, let me tell you something, Israel, Yasharah will be purged. Two-thirds of our people are not going to make it because we have the Lot's wife syndrome. We have fallen in love with Babylon, and we refuse to turn from Babylon. If you remember the first Exodus, there were people that were complaining to Moses that said, you took us away from a life where we had food, shelter, and we knew what we could depend on, and you brought us out here to die, murmuring and complaining. There are some people who are not going to heed to the call or follow the call to gather and to move into the wilderness. We must have our... just as in Passover, we should have our backpack sitting by the door, eating our unleavened bread and lamb, and prepared to leave and to go. When the angel says go and don't look back, I did a lesson called Burning Bridges Back to Babylon. You must be prepared to do that. So we're developing a mindset now so that we will be acclimated to the disposition we must acquire to move into promise and safety. And you didn't realize how close it was. Let me read some things to you as a precursor. Because a lot of things happened this week, and some of you didn't even know about it because you were distracted by the popular news, the things to gossip about. You have to look at the prophecy that can be found in the book of Daniel when Daniel was told to seal it up until the time of the end. And now I'm understanding that I used to hear people try and teach on the prophecies of Daniel, which made no sense in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, and the early 2000s. But now it's not irrelevant. It's relevant and pertinent, and it all makes sense. Iron and clay, abomination of desolation. They tried to teach it a certain way based upon their traditions. I wish so many of you would snap out of tradition. Pleading with some of my older brothers and sisters who are stuck in a Pentecost religious traditional dynamic. You so caught up into doing things your way, thinking bringing deliverance and laying on hands and telling people to repeat after you get saved, and they still living in hell, still not keeping the commandments, still not changing and transforming. I'm praying you'll let go of tradition because you have no idea the times we're living in. Humble yourself. What happened on Tuesday was the 1,335-day countdown. It started on Tuesday. The 1,290 days happened already. The exact amount of days from the day that the abomination of desolation, the covenant with many, which are the Noahide laws. I want you to Google Noahide laws. There are seven Noahide laws that the synagogue of Satan, along with the 70 nations, have agreed to in their pact that they have signed. And they are all against the commandments, and they are all against Christ, all seven of these Noahide laws. They've even merged underneath. No one knew about this. Pope met with imams. And they've met in Jerusalem, Judaism, and they've merged Christianity with Islam, and they call it Chrislam, and they've come into an agreement that the one God that they all worship is Allah, and not to make no reference or mention of a Jesus Christ, because there is none, and they're waiting on their Savior, and they sacrifice animals on that day, this pack. Many of you are caught in the shell game. You're being told to look to the right while to the left. Many things are happening and taking place. And I keep telling you, it's not going to be some sensational light show or a billboard ad that Satan has put out for you to know. It's happening right in front of your face, and you're not aware of it. The abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel, which is the covenant with many, was signed on 9/27/2019, this was at the onset of the pandemic, brothers and sisters. The covenant was signed below Jerusalem in a Masonic temple and is described perfectly in Ezekiel, the 8th chapter, to be exact, Ezekiel 8, 11 through 12. And Ezekiel 8 and 16 spoke of this temple, the gathering and the signing. See, many of you were deceived because you didn't know they had a temple underneath Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem where they were gathering, which is all set up for the date for the sacrifices, daily sacrifice, everything they were doing, and to sign this pact, this covenant. And the goal of this, these 70 nations, the goal is to replace the United Nations. And it's the synagogue of Satan copying the 70 nations, which were originally the 70 races that were in the earth, which were the grandsons of Noah. Noah's three sons had 70 sons between the three of them, which represented 70 nations. And then you go even further. You had Moses that when he said the task was too much to deal with the people, so he was told to anoint 70 elders to assist him in the task of lording over the people. Well, this abomination of desolation, which is the covenant with many, the Noahide laws, which was signed on 9/27/2019, below Jerusalem. Yeah, so that you couldn't see it inside a Masonic temple, and it's described perfectly in Ezekiel 8 with the seats facing east. This is spoken of in Ezekiel, the 8th chapter, how 24 of the people that were the head of nations that were down there would all be facing east. And when I have pictures of this, but I can't put these pictures up right now, because I have pictures of the temple where this pact was signed, this agreement was signed. And I have pictures of the seats, that how the auditorium, and it's built like the Sanhedrin court was. It's structured just like that. See, a lot of you thought that they would try and build a third temple, but you don't need a third temple. All you need is the altar and the animals to sacrifice and all the tools to do the sacrifice. All of that was done, people, underneath your nose, and you didn't even know it. Here's the key. There is a difference of 45 days between the 1,290 days, which comes out to be 3.5 years, and the 1,335 days. And you already know that the man who was sitting as president at the time that this happened was Donald Trump, who is the 45th president. So what just happened this week was 3.5 years have come to an end, which represents the 1,290 days spoken of in the book of Daniel. I got to go ahead and read some of this before I go any further. First of all, let's go to Daniel, the 12th chapter, and we'll go back to the 8th chapter. So that you'll know exactly what it is I'm in reference to. Daniel 12 and 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That's what we have reached right after unleavened bread just this past week. And I'm going to tell you something that happened the Monday before the Tuesday when it happened that's going to horrify you. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. That's 1,335 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 305 and 30 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. Now let me go to Ezekiel. Well, that will talk about, I have so many scriptures, and I'm not going to be able to read all these, but John 17 and 15. We have Revelations 3 and 10, Revelations 12, Daniel 7 and 25, and the 3.5 we see in Revelations 12 talking about the 42 weeks. However, this pact that was signed, what we have is the culmination of this pact where we've reached the 1,260 days, which is half, comes out to 3.5 years complete total. So let me continue to read this article, and then I'll help you to better understand. Blessed is he that lasts to the 1,335 days, because what happens after that point in time and period is that the second half of the prophecy is to come to pass. That's talked about in Revelations, where the woman will be carried into the wilderness and protected for a time, times and a half. That's 3.5 years. We have just seen the culmination of the first 3.5 years, and now we're moving into the second phase of the 7-year tribulation. And this pact that was signed in Jerusalem underground is a 7-year agreement. Everybody knew that the tribulation couldn't start until this pact and agreement was signed. But what happened was nobody knew that this was being signed. The Bible said when they say peace, then comes sudden destruction, and all hell broke loose. For the first time ever in the history of the entire world, an entire populace, the entire world, shut down and went on lockdown. and you're watching the news looking out for martial law, you didn't need to look for martial law. For the first time in the history of mankind, the entire world went on lockdown. We just finished 3.5 years of that time period. And now we're getting ready to see the 7 bowl judgments. Seals were opened up during this time. And now more seals are getting ready to be opened. And so what happens at the end of 1290? We're getting ready to move into a time of the 45 days until 1335, spoken of in Daniel 12. And during this time period, what I'm telling you, if you really can understand what I'm telling you, is that we are closer than ever before to going into a time as Israelites and a remnant of the Gentiles into the wilderness to be protected, where Revelation talks about that. I guess I have to read it. Let's go to Revelation, the 12th chapter. I wanted to set the foundation first. Some of these things I have to. Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That represents the 12 tribes of Israel. And she, being with child, the Messiah, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, representing Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns, those are nations and countries, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who's the third of the angels that fell with Satan. And they stood before the woman, which represents Israel, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child, our Messiah, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, the commandments, and her child was called up unto the Most High and to his throne. Here we go. This is the wilderness. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of Yah, that she should feed there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. So let's stop at 6. That's talking about going into the wilderness, that Yah has a place prepared for us. We don't know where it is or what it is, but we're getting ready to move into that aspect of the prophecy. Many people used to talk and argue and debate. I'm not going to do it here. Is the tribulation going to be 7 years or 3.5 years? Will the rapture be before this, before the 7-year tribulation? You were lied to. Let's just leave it there. There's a 7-year tribulation, but you didn't even see it transpire. We are moving into the second portion. What am I telling you today? 3.5 years of the tribulation have already passed. You just witnessed it and went through it. And now the second 3.5, all hell is about to break loose. But also there's getting ready to be a wilderness for the Most High's people, and we're moving into the second Exodus. Let me continue to explain to you. Now, you must understand what I just read to you that happened. Right underneath your nose is that the covenant with many was signed, which was a key prophecy that had to happen before the tribulation could even start. And it did happen. It did happen on September 27th, 2019 in Jerusalem in a Masonic temple underground. Let me continue reading to you about this. This is what I want you to see. The 1,335 days, that's like a 45-day period from what transpired this week. We reached the halfway point, which is 1,260 days. There's a 45-day period that's talked about in Daniel, the 12th chapter, of a time of rest. It's like a time to take a breath before we enter into the next 3.5 years. The 1,335 countdown already started this past Tuesday. The 1,260 days is tomorrow, but it happened on Tuesday. The exact amount of days from the day that the abomination of desolation, the covenant with many, the Noahide laws, was signed, 9/27/2019.
This covenant, as I mentioned, was signed below in Jerusalem. I'm making clear to you that there's a difference of 45 days between the 1290 and the 1335 days. And you already know about what I said about who was present at the time. Be clear that you understand that we're getting ready as Israelites to move into a time of protection, as I just read to you, and the amount of time, how long that will last. No man knows the day or the hour, but we do know the season, and we understand the season. So we have to be prayed up and ready for anything and everything that might come. What happened before we ended the 3.5 years? Letter from the White House was released. And no one knew about this. From the White House in Washington for immediate release. On Monday, April 10th, 2023, the president signed into law HJ Resolution 7, which terminated the national emergency related to COVID-19 pandemic. The national emergency related, did you hear about this? That he signed a resolution finally ending the emergency? So you watch the news and they tell you, oh, we're winding down with COVID. No, they ended it at the White House, the emergency resolution. So the Emergency Use Authorization Act is no longer in effect or can be utilized. It's all done. It's complete. They have accomplished what they wanted to do during this time period. So what am I saying? The 70 nations had their founding conference underneath the ground in Jerusalem. Let's talk more about that. I'm going to read to you out of the agreement that they brought to the conference, because there was a brother by the name of Leland Jacobs who printed up from the brochure in the program some of the things that transpired. I'm going to read to you what was in their brochure. It said, with the gracious help of the protector, don't forget this is the synagogue of Satan, with the gracious help of the protector and savior of Israel, creator of the world, by covenant, we declare that the footsteps of Messiah are evidently heard and that the time has come to rebuild the temple on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem in its ancient place. We, the Jews who advocate building of the temple, are applying to your honorable ones who were nominated by their peoples to give oath, raise vows, and gifts to the temple as prophesied in Isaiah. This is the part of their resolution that all 70 nations have signed and agreed to. And then they go on to try and utilize and hijack the scripture, which is Isaiah, the 60th chapter, which says, arise and shine, which does not apply to them. It applies actually to the Israelites, us, because that scripture is a prophecy given to us, because after the 45 days are over, there's going to be 3 days of darkness that were prophesied in the Bible that's going to transpire as we move into the next phase of the 3.5 years of tribulation. I'll read a little bit more to you. Signed by members of the great Jewish biblical court, the Sanhedrin, from the chamber on Temple Mount. The underground Masonic temple is right underneath the Temple Mount. Chairman Rabbi Yoel Schwartz, Rabbi Yeshe Babad, spokesperson, Rabbi Professor Halal Weiss. Brothers and sisters, you had the UAE, the United Arab Emirates there. You had representatives from the Vatican there, and you had other leading nations that were all there that all signed this pact in complete agreement, and actual animals were sacrificed underground. And people could have gone to this conference, but nobody knew about this conference taking place. And it was a call to the Arab nations as well. So they have united and combined. What you see in the news is false. Now let's go back to the 3.5 years that passed. Immediately after they signed the Abomination of Desolation, 70 nations came together and signed this agreement, this pact of peace, which brought about one world religion as well. They have already come into an agreement and created the one world religion. They're waiting on the appearance of their Messiah. Let me tell you what happened on the first day, and I got to use strategic words right now. President Trump signed H.R. 1242 back in 2018. That was the commemoration of the 400-year prophecy of when the first slave landed in Point Comfort, Virginia, and that we were coming in 2019 to the end of that 400-year of slavery. What they subliminally were telling you that they recognize the true Israelites were about to come to the end of that prophecy and come into the awakening. Oh, but it's just a coincidence that everybody started to wake up from the last 3.5 years. I know, because some people dispute that prophecy too, but we see from your Kanye's to your Kyrie's to everything else, everybody awakened. There's been many awakenings prior to that, but there was a massive, and there is a massive awakening happening right now. And, you know, it's not just us coming into the knowledge of who we are as a people, but even the Gentiles are seeing that we've been lied to our whole lives, especially with history. Now, we read in Revelations, the 12th chapter, how prophetically the stars aligned to show that the woman had 12 stars over her head in the skies, and that Christ was about to be born, and what the devil would do and what it all symbolized. Well, that same thing happened in 2020 at the behest of the three and a half years in the pandemic. Above in the sky on the day that CV19, follow me, understand what I'm saying, and this pandemic thing that happened, the day that it was announced, it was the same time that the constellation Sagittarius appeared in the sky, which represents a white horse riding, which is in Revelations, the 6th chapter. This is during the time of the awakening and the time of the announcement. Above was the Corona Australis. Our Heavenly Father said he provides the sun, moon, and stars as signs to show us the events that are to take place. In our Greek translation of the Bible, it was correctly translated, would know that we are in the tribulation, as it is written, that the white rider comes with a bow. The bow in the Greek represents toxins. This happened the same day that Trump, Fauci, that woman stood up, breaking news. But you weren't looking up in the stars and realizing that he uses that to let you know. So let's talk about what that Sagittarius alignment in the constellations, which represented a white rider, what it meant. The white rider has a bow, and in the Greek, it represents toxins. And that white rider had a crown, which represents, guess what? It's the name of a beer. I don't know if I can say the word. And it starts with a C. So the crown is that C word. And it meant to conquer. And if you go to the CDC website, at the moment this took place, they put on the front page of their website and a booklet, the C word is the first, that is what you'll see, is the constellation Sagittarius on the front of the book. These people know, but they know you are not going to take the time out to look for it and to know this stuff. So they put it on the front of their website and in a booklet. They were announcing to you the start of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now listen to this. That white horse and that constellation represented the first seal to be broken. The first seal was broken. The first seal was what you just went through. The first seal had to do with the CDC. The C word is the first seal to be broken with Helios, Satan, the white rider of the apocalypse. On the very front page, we all know that this is when the whole world changed. They told you what to put on your face, where to stand in line, how long to stand in line, what aisle to walk up, when you can come out your house, what you could do. A lot of people got beat and killed. The whole world changed. first seal was broken. Now listen to this. 9 months after that announcement, on the 14th of December, 2020, there was a total solar eclipse in the constellation of Scorpio, which represents the tribe of Dan and the Antichrist. It was on this date that the very first hokey pokey was given. Exactly 9 months later, December 14th, 2020, the first hokey pokey was given, which represents the tribe of Dan and the Antichrist. And brothers and sisters, it was on that date that the first mark was given. And I'm not biting my tongue. Everybody else wants to lie to you and tell you it's not. It is. It was and it is that was prophesied. That's what took place during the first 3.5 years under a form of an Antichrist, which was a government system, after the first seal was broken. Many people stood in line for hours to receive it, turned their back on God. Your pagan churches were closed, and they promoted it as well. You thought you would see it coming because they announced to you that it would happen a certain way. No, that was it. Many of you took it. It's still time for repentance. Let the Most High be the final judge. Now, how am I going to tell? How do I know that was it? Listen, as Yah's perfect creation, we have 144,000 genomes. Okay? Chromosomes, genomes. And I did a lesson early on how God can change your DNA because he comes to regenerate you. To regenerate you means to regene you. God can actually change your genetic structure through the working of the Holy Spirit. It's called being healed. But I want you to pay attention to how I know that that was that thing that a lot of you took, that was it. Looking all over for a chip, wasn't no chip, that was it. You have 144,000 genomes, chromosomes. The mRNA adds an additional 72,000 chromosomes, equating to 216,000 chromosomes. When you break 216,000 down at 600 times 60 times 6, that's your 666. It has chimera DNA in it, which gives you a triple helix DNA strand. The queen, before she died, lit up a light statue, which showed a triple helix light display, moving man from a double helix to a triple helix, increasing from 144 to 216, which is 600 times 60 times 6. This also has luciferase, which has a patent number of 060606, which attacks the pineal, the brain, the memory, the blood-brain barrier, and takes away one's compassion and intensity for the Most High. It also possesses, listen to me closely, the cryptocurrency chip and Bluetooth technology with the patent that I just mentioned. Inside this hokey pokey was a cryptocurrency chip and Bluetooth technology with the patent WD060606 within it already. No need for anything else. So you have the image, the name, and the number of the beast within you. This happened during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And it's funny that we talk about Bluetooth and cryptocurrency when they're getting ready to introduce the CBDC in June, which falls right in line with the end of the emergency, the end of the 1290 days, the 45-day wait period, biblically, prophetically, and then moving into the second 3.5 years. And what they're not telling you is they're getting ready to tighten up the strings all around you because the infrastructure has been put in place. And you won't realize what's been put in place until they connect all dots and the gates are closed. What am I talking about with that patent that I just read to you? The cryptocurrency system? Go to Google Patents and understand this cryptocurrency system using body activity data. Abstract. The human body activity associated with a task provided to a user may be used in a mining process of a cryptocurrency system. A server may provide a task to a device of a user, which is communicatively coupled to the server. A sensor communicatively coupled to be comprised in the device of the user may sense body activity of the user. Body activity data may be generated based on the sensed body activity of the user. The cryptocurrency system communicatively coupled to the device of the user may verify if the body activity data satisfies one or more conditions set by the cryptocurrency system and award cryptocurrency to users whose body activity data is verified. I don't think you understand what's happening here, and I pray that you're listening to me. I'm going to read this again. Let's go back. Within the hokey pokey that you may have taken, you increased from 144 chromosomes, you added 72,000, thus giving you 216,000, which equates to 600 times 60 times 6. And also within the hokey pokey was the new Gates cryptocurrency chip and beautiful and Bluetooth technology with the patent number WDO060606. Therefore, you have the image, the name, and the number that was prophesied would happen during the tribulation, during that time period. And now you have CBDC coming out in June. So the foundation has already been laid. You don't even know that they laid the foundation on you so that we will not be able to buy or sell or do anything because all lying Satan wants to be omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, and tracking of who you are. So you signed up for freedom, but you signed up for slavery in a new world order of a demonic system. And the seals are being unloosed. The Bible talks about in Revelation 6, the first seal being the bowl and the corona, which is what I just read to you. The second seal will be war. The third seal will be inflation. I think we're seeing all these right here as far as seals being broken. The fourth seal is famine, pestilence, plagues, beasts, and the drying up of the Euphrates. All of these are happening. The Euphrates River is drying up. I didn't even know this about wild beasts, but if you Google this, wild beasts are attacking people all over the place. Google the number of how often this is happening. I'm not going to show you this in the news. Pestilence, we already see that transpiring. That's why they're trying to get you to eat bugs. And famine and inflation, we see that happening. You already know that from just going to the grocery store. So what also, I know this is devastating news, but you need to know that it's real and that you're going through it and you don't even realize it because you're oblivious and you're in a stupor. You're oblivious to what's happening, and the Most High is trying to call you to repentance. We're getting ready to move into the seven bowls of wrath that were prophesied in the book of Revelations. 16th chapter. As a result of humanity's sin and rebellion, the Most High pours out seven bowls of fire on humanity, and it's talked about in Revelation, the 16th chapter. It is these seven bowls that will be a reminder that Yeshua HaMashiach is the only one who can and will protect during the time described in Revelation. So we are protected as a nation of people, which is spoken of in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. So let's look at the bowls that are being poured out as we're moving from the 1290. Blessed is he that makes it to the 1335. That's Daniel 12. And then you go back and read Daniel's 9. I know your pastor mistaught you the abomination of desolation, and you were mistaught about the 70 nations and signing of these agreements and them signing peace and saying peace, and then comes sudden destruction. We just went through it, and many of you want to play down the 3.5 years that have passed, and they're hiding from you. Even a resolution being signed saying, okay, that part is done. They signed it Monday, and it tied into something that happened in 2019 on Tuesday, which is the culmination of 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years, 2021, 22, half of 23. You got the thing in you. You didn't even know you bowed down and took it. And it's the name, the image. It's all a part of the system. And now they're bringing it out in June. So they're going to tie all the pieces together. And you're going to realize, oh, my God, what have I trapped? What in the matrix is going on? Call on Jesus. Yeshua. Let's talk about seven bowl judgments, which is to get you to repent. The Bible said that many are still not going to repent. We just talked about the seals. The seals have been broken. They've been breaking all around you. But you want to listen to these people on TBN try to tell you lies to throw you off, children of Israel. The judgment is largely composed of three series of sevens. The seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. The Most High's wrath is described in Revelation 16, 1 through 21, through seven bowls or vials. John sees seven angels bringing seven plagues. Yes, there must be plagues because Israel's born into the wilderness. You know the first Exodus. Understand the role of the second Exodus. Now, you Israelites, don't get too happy because I told you two-thirds of you going to be destroyed because of your disobedience, the spirit of Jezebel that's on you, the fact that you have not been keeping these holy days, you have not practiced them, you do not have the ability to come up under the rod because you are undisciplined, you have no character in Christ. So don't you get too happy. And as well, you remnant of Gentiles that are coming in because you have an extreme arrogance. You boast against the natural branches because you still don't believe that the real Israelites are the Israelites. So a lot of y'all better just keep it calm. No one is arrived. There's no white flag for no one yet. What are the seven bowls of wrath? In our examination, we should know that each one will represent the destruction of something the Most High made in Genesis 1 and 2 for life and joy of his image bearers. Why? Because many will not bear his image any longer because you've changed your DNA. Matthew 24. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. He could not find pure blood in the earth, only Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. Tainted. Solomon Gomorrah, tainted. Daughter of Babylon right now, tainted. Everybody's just calm, like, oh, that part is over. No, it's not. It's going to make it real bad. Despite Egypt's catastrophe, the Most High is capable of bringing such terrible plagues upon sinful humanity, for he has already made it happen before, and it can happen again. I got some bad news for you. The first bowl. Loathsome sores all over your body, boils. Bowl number one declares that those who worshipped the image and bore the mark of the beast, hokey pokey, had painful and harmful sores, Revelation 16 and 2. Y'all thought it was over, huh? Unless, you know, we went through that. The consequences of those actions. People who prefer to follow the Most High are not littered with this primary bowl, but only those who prefer to follow the Antichrist. That took that thing. In this passage, the Most High's fury is poured out on all humanity, which was created on the sixth day. According to Revelation 13, 18, this represents the sixth Egyptian plague of boils that falls on those who take the mark and those who worship the creature above the creator. You were supposed to consult the Creator before putting anything in your holy temple. Bowl number two, seas of blood. This is happening all over the earth. You have to Google this and you'll see that there's water that's literally turning into blood. Just because you don't see it in your hometown, you think you're okay. A lot of you think that the contamination that happened in that oil spill like that just went away. We just quickly forget everything. It's a new day. It's behind me. It didn't happen. The water is tainted. The water system, the Mississippi River, it's all tainted. You can't get rid of those chemicals. Those chemicals have to be contained, controlled, and burnt out, weeded out. You can't even filter them out. It's not over. Bowl number two is poured out on the sea, turning the water into blood like a dead person's blood. And all that was alive died. The sea had already lost a third of its life with the sounding of the second trumpet. And now the rest is gone. There is no life in the oceans. This next 3.5 years is when what we thought we would teach that this is the only tribulation because this is the bad tribulation that's coming. No, it wasn't. It was 7 years. We went through the first 3.5. I just broke it down to you. So now we're moving into the final 3.5. So we got the second bowl. Google that. And this is why the news would keep from you how many fish and whales and sharks were dying in oceans all over the world. They're not Satan, who runs the propaganda and the news media, is not going to advertise that prophecy is being fulfilled because it will drive you to the Most High. This is a liar and the father of it. Throughout the ocean, the Most High's fury is vented. In Genesis, the Most High separated the waters above and below on the second day of creation in order to provide humanity with breathing space. The ocean also provides us with climate control, transportation, and a wonderful place to wander. Fish were a marvelous source of food when the Most High created the waters on the fifth day. The second bowl of the Most High's creation destroys the ocean's blessings, as in the sixth plague, where the Most High killed Egypt's waters. You're talking about a second Exodus. You have to understand what comes along with that. The third, the river of blood. You'll find that in Revelation 16 and 4. What is that? It is the third container that transformed all fresh water into blood. The angel declares that the wicked people of the earth have shed the blood of believers, and they will now drink this blood. You better know this is real. Bowl number four, the scorching sun. The fourth bowl, the solar scorches humans with its fire, especially if you ain't got that UV-40 or that melanin jumping off. Humans with this fire, while they curse the Most High, nonetheless, they still are not going to repent and give the Most High glory. Revelation 16 and 8 tells us how hot the sun will begin to become. I just had a friend of mine call me and tell me that he lives in Thailand and it was 122 degrees. People were falling out everywhere. And this can potentially happen all over the earth for all of those that took the mark. And here's the one, number five, darkness. With bowl number five, the throne of the beast and its state has become enveloped by darkness. That's Revelation 16 and 10. The fifth bowl covers the Antichrist state in darkness. You know, your new world order, there'll be 3 days of darkness. It's coming to a town near you. We already got to experience it back in 2024 day in California. And we saw what that would be like, red, dark skies. But I got news for you. Those, Isaiah the 60th chapter says, rise and shine, for thy light has come. I mean, I think I'll read that before I go. Because I have a strong feeling, now this is just me talking, that we're going to see some of these bowls unfold, but then we will move into the wilderness, and many of these people will realize that some people are missing. Because they're in a place that's protected. Understand, people, that the wilderness is before the return of the Messiah. We'll be in the wilderness, and while we're in the wilderness, the dead in Christ will rise at a point, and the Messiah will come, and we shall be transformed. And that will be those that survive the wilderness. So this is, there's a totally different prophecy for another set, another group of people. So when darkness engulfs the wicked here, instead of scorching them to death with the sun, first they get burnt, then they go into darkness. As in the penultimate plague upon Egypt, there was a three-day period of darkness across the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. Neither of them sees one another nor rise from their places. People won't even move because you can't even see the person in front of you. And this is talked about in Exodus 10, 21 through 23. And then hell is described by Yeshua as the outer darkness, referring to people who are thrown there. Those who are there will weep and gnash their teeth. Let me just go through the rest of them, which are in Revelation 16. The sixth bowl is war, and the seventh is the last one, is the Most High's fury, where the return of Christ is, where everyone will look into the air, and from the throne a loud voice cries, "It is completed," just like when the Messiah was on the cross and said, "It is finished, it is done." After that last bowl is done. So we do know that the war happens. Euphrates River is dried up, making it easier for the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet to deceive the ultimate leaders of the arena and prepare for the final battle, which is Armageddon. And here he comes. That is the final bowl. Let's go back to the darkness that happens with the fifth bowl. While that fifth bowl is happening, darkness against those who have done this thing to themselves and who denounce Christ, this is what will be going on with the Israelites who are being protected, because you'll be in a place without walls. People will see you there and know you are there and can't get to you, can't harm you, can't bother you. So what did the Most High say to us? Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to thy brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. That's your reparations right there. When the darkness comes, they'll finally want to pay you off. And therefore, you won't be trying to spend it in Babylon, because Babylon is finished. We're in the tribulation. Seals are being broken. Bowls are getting ready to be poured out. We're moving into the next 3.5 years. If you can disagree with me, that's fine. You didn't know about the Abrahamic Peace Accords that just happened August 19th, 2019, when Trump was talking about the Abrahamic Peace Accords. They deceived you and hid from you that 70 nations showed up and signed a peace accord and agreement, and they created a one-world religion. You didn't know. And then they signed a resolution recognizing the end of the captivity. Y'all was like, that's not what it is. And then at the end of the captivity, then they made this announcement during the constellation of Sagittarius, which represents a white rider on a horse, which is the first seal. And you're not paying attention. You're so distracted, people of Yah. Brothers and sisters, forget we don't have much time, but I used to say that. Time is gone. Time is far spent. We just went through 3.5, and now we're going, the worst part is coming. You better hope yourself, count yourself worthy. Hope the Most High counts you as being worthy to go up underneath the rod and to move into protection and go into the second exodus in the wilderness. Tell them about we're getting close and we're almost out of time. Yeah, we're coming to the end of the age, but you did not know where we were, because you did not know what was happening internationally, because you watching Channel 7, Channel 5, Channel 4. Duh. You all willy-nilly, you're in a stupor. You're distracted. You're still watching the game. And every movie that comes out, they are doing things behind our backs, making moves, because they're fighting for their survival. Esau, Amalek, they're watching you wake up. They know who they are. They know they're not the people. They ain't trying to pull this off. Satan knows his end, but he's got his people believing they can win. They believe it. They've seen him manifest in front of them and other fallen angels and demons, and he's promised them eternal life because they're seeing manifestations of different realms, and you see it, and you're like, oh, my God, he does have power. So they're believing it. So they believe they can win against our Messiah, who's magnanimous, omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful, glorious. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to try to convince you anymore. My heart goes out for you, but I'm saying if you took the hokey pokey, which was that mark, just repent. Pray that he has mercy on you. We'll see what happens. Spend my time. If you get a chance, there's a song I really like called Will You Be Ready by Commission. Just listen to it today. And I'm going to close out by saying that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Because truth is a journey and not a destination. I love you. I'm praying for you. And if I don't see you here, I'll see you there. You know what I mean. Will I see you in the wilderness? Shabbat shalom.
This simple 30-second message reverses memory loss.
Thank you.